I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Farming is big business in Australia and is deeply rooted in the country's history. But the farming way of life is facing new pressure from an industry that's increasingly central to Australia's economy. The World's Jason Margolis reports on the growing friction between farming and mining.
It's not easy being a farmer in Australia these days. They had 12 years of drought. The government is threatening to cut water supplies. And if that weren't enough, many farmers feel they're second fiddle to the mining industry. Take the example of Wendy Bowman.
Next door to us, a mine was put right on our boundary. The dust and the blasting and the noise at night, the dust covered all the pastures. The cattle wouldn't eat the pastures some days because the dust was so thick and heavy.
Bowman lives in the Hunter Valley, a rich agricultural area in southeastern Australia, just north of Sydney. This area has good soils, but also good coal reserves. I had lemonade with Bowman on her porch. She hates the coal companies, seriously hates them. This is what she said about a coal executive.
I heard he had prostate cancer, and I thought it couldn't have happened to a nicer person, actually.
Bowman went on like this for about a half hour. How the coal companies have destroyed the environment, contaminated the groundwater, and wrecked the community. At this point, you might be thinking, I've heard this story before. The big mining company comes in and locals say they destroyed the environment. Yes, same story. But the story in Australia has an economic twist. The mines here are making people rich, very rich. Skilled boilermakers earn more than $300,000 a year. 18-year-olds can earn $150,000 a year driving trucks. Bowman says those teens and all that money, it's a nightmare.
You know, all the young are drunk at night. They've got so much money they don't know what to do with it. They're spending it all these hepped-up room utes and things that roar around town at night. It's very sad to see a very, very nice district end up like this.
That contempt that some farmers feel for the mining industry, well, the feeling is mutual.
The farmland argument's a ridiculous argument. It's just a bunch of old cockies trying to preserve their way of life, which has no relevancy to today's society.
That's Paul Howes, National Secretary of the Australian Workers' Union. By the way, a cocky is Australian slang for a farmer with a little, insignificant farm. Howes says, you want to know why mining salaries are so high? It's simple. Supply and demand.
In terms of bankers and lawyers, at the moment, they're a dime a dozen. I can get lawyers very easily, and I would argue that one boilermaker at the moment is worth 10 lawyers for our economy.
To him, it makes for an easy calculus.
I'm a dig-it-up-ship-it-out guy.
That attitude is making Australia rich. Dig it up, ship it to China. But can mining and agriculture coexist? Mitch Hook, the CEO of the Minerals Council of Australia, says, yeah, they already do.
At the moment, the mining, there's just this perception that, well, it's just big trucks, bulldozers blowing up stuff, and it's all ugly, downright dirty, dangerous, and low tech. Well, nothing could be further than the truth.
Same question to seventh generation farmer Tim Duddy. Can mining and agriculture coexist?
Absolutely not.
For Duddy, the question is personal. The mining companies are knocking at his door. Went on a driving tour with Duddy through his home area, the Liverpool Plains. It's the next stop up the road from where I met Wendy Bowman, the woman who says mining wrecked her community.
If they mine here the way they mine anywhere else, the agricultural resource will be destroyed, the water resources will be destroyed, and maybe not in 1 year, maybe not in 5 years, maybe not in 15 years, but in 20 years perhaps, or 50 years. And this agricultural resource here is so productive that it's got a 1,000-year lifespan.
Mining companies have promised to monitor the local water, take care of the environment, and return the area to farming once they're done mining. Farmers aren't buying this. They've organized a community effort, including a physical blockade to stop coal companies from coming here. Mitch Hook at the Mining Council says that's over the line. He says the government has the authority to approve or reject mining permits, not local farmers.
This cannot degenerate into a debate about not in my backyard, the old NIMBY adage.
Absolutely, I've been accused of being NIMBY.
Farmer Tim Duddy seems proud of that moniker. Mining companies have been writing generous checks to farmers in this area. One farmer got $5.2 million for a house that sold 9 years ago for $376,000, a tidy 1,400% profit. Duddy says they've offered to buy his land, too. I asked, how much?
A lot.
But Duddy says his land isn't for sale at any price.
I said to them that they don't understand the love of land, and I don't understand the love of money. They love money as much as I love land.
Duddy will have a tough road to hoe. The reality is the world still runs on coal. About a quarter of the world's energy comes from it. Coal generates more than three-quarters of Australia's electricity. But those percentages might start shifting. The Australian government is on the verge of passing a carbon tax, which would discourage the use of coal. If that happens, score one for the farmers. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis, the Liverpool Plains, Australia.
You can also hear Jason's stories on the water shortages facing Australia's farmers there at theworld.org.